goes what? That's what I was doing when I came on, Jim. I didn't know it. I was just definitely Trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Education Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Can you feel it, Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakadalist? Can you feel it?
I can feel it.
Speak up like you're on radio.
Absolutely,
so
can feel it.
Jim Jesus, can you feel it? What do you guys?
Oh yeah, I can feel it. Oh yeah, I can feel it. But what was that about Alpha Centauri? What was the story behind that?
That's where we're going, man. Where we're going, we don't need roads. We're gonna pack up the fiends in 2017 and move to. You know, I just got myself a pair of state canceling headphones. Do you have some of those?
Yeah.
They're better than noise-canceling headphones. But we're going to have state-canceling everything from the adorable ETs that undoubtedly live 4.3 light-years away. They're going to hear us in 2017 on the radio in... wait, what?
Yeah, you see, there's this thing called the Drake equation, which basically kind of points out of the mathematical formula that basically like how long a civilization could possibly exist, if a planet could even sustain life, and whether or not it could sustain some sort of interstellar travel, and before they even can blow themselves up, and the probability of an alien planet being on there, being a libertarian on top of that, is pretty much next to nil. So yeah. I think you're pretty much wasting your time.
Why am I even on the fiends? I was promised. Michael Dean gave me a golden ticket for a spaceship. That's what I get paid in. Every month I get a golden ticket. It's really just aluminum foil that I think he peed on. I don't know, man.
See, the mainstream media has been pushing this idea that someday aliens will come and rescue us, but that's probably never going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, the closest thing to me you're saying in modern literature is probably that scene in Independence Day where the chick is up on top of the library tower in Los Angeles holding a big sign up that says, "We welcome the UFOs," and then they vaporize her and all her friends, right?
Probably, yeah. But actually, who knows? They'll probably be neocons by the time they get here. So,
but it'll actually probably be more like just me and my friends on the roof of some building waiting alone. That's what you're really saying, isn't it?
Pretty much. Yeah,
we're just broadcasting in. We're just yelling into the darkness, is what you're saying. Like anybody who's on the fiends for the ETs. Is just yelling in the dark. They should just go in their closet and just talk to themselves, right?
Yeah. Well, perhaps there might be some libertarian advanced society out there, but by the time we reach our radio stations, reach them, we'll our grandchildren will be dead.
Yeah, and that's one problem with there's something called the Fermi equation, which goes along, or the Fermi, what is it? You know the thing?
Fermi paradox?
Yeah, the Fermi paradox. Thank you, young Nick. Which is basically. If you look at the Drake equation page on Wikipedia, it has a section, the Fermi paradox, which is basically Enrico Fermi, he basically invented nuclear power and then almost blew up Chicago in the mid 20th century. His question was basically, well, if you know, there seems this astronomical probability that there are ETs out there, why haven't we heard from them? And there's a whole bunch of reasons, and one of them. It's that they're probably too far apart, too expensive to spread information from one to the other. And, you know, if we're counting on that we're going to beam, you know, analog radio waves into space and that's how they're going to hear of our existence and come be our friends, we're at the tail end of that. We're at the, like, you know, 4/5 of that is over, to the point where really nobody's going to be using long distance radio waves to communicate in one direction anymore. You know, and it seems like any society would probably at some point discover and invent radio and TV, but then, you know, within 100 or 120 years, it's gone. It's all cables underground. So you don't need it anymore. So the likelihood that they're going to be listening
to what we've done in the past 100 years and probably into the next 20 years before it's all gone is just infinitesimal.
Yeah.
Infinitesimal.
It's too bad. I'm sorry. I've just been having to ruin everybody's day now that I'm watching this new show called Adam Ruins Everything, which is probably one of the few things, good things that have came out of College Humor. Not a big fan, but they do come out
College
with some good
stuff. College Humor is a site. It's a YouTube site, if people don't know. You don't mean College Humor in general. There's nothing good to come out of College Humor because people going to college are ridiculous. They're only good to be the brunt of jokes. Including the fact that some there's no free speech on campuses anymore. It's pretty bizarre, like to the point where, you know, if you use the word ghetto to describe yourself, like you'll get called in and have to go to sensitivity training, and to the point where the term politically correct is no longer politically correct, and you can't describe yourself as any number of words that normal people used to use in conversation are now considered racist or insensitive, or it's pretty bizarre. You know, the thing about, I want to go back for a second. Before we go into College Humor, I want to go back. I like your segue, but I just want to say I really wish I could commit on radio to this whole, the aliens are, well, they're in my head, the CIA put wires in my brain kind of stuff. Because, you know, we're the only show that's on in the middle of the night that's not like that. Have you ever listened to talk radio from midnight on? It's like
coast to coast.
Coast to coast, man. And then like four wannabe coast to coast shows. Yeah. Like shows with people who have never met a conspiracy theory they wouldn't embrace for 4 hours, even if they didn't believe it. It's hard, man. It's hard out here for a pimp. Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Okay, so the website College Humor had a skit on there called Adam Ruins Everything, where he would... They would show someone basically sitting at a restaurant saying, like, okay, so, you know, how much should we tip? And then he would come and say, like, well, actually, you know, tipping is a rather new invention, and we shouldn't be doing it because it came out of, you know, the Depression era when the waiters weren't being paid by the staff or being paid by the house, so they thought it was a cheaper way to just have them rely on tips instead. And then, like, you know, everybody's day is just ruined at the end of it. And they're just like, get away from me. Like, don't talk to me anymore. They made a show out of it.
I didn't believe that one as much as some of them. Like, that one, I mean, it's kind of an update on Penn and Teller's BS show, which I actually hadn't seen in a long time. And I watched an episode on TV last night. They're replaying them on some cable channel. I watched the one about recycling. Now, let me ask you this. In that recycling one, they come to the conclusion that the only thing that's economically viable to recycle is tin cans that or aluminum cans. That it's not worth it on any end of it. It can't be done without subsidies and threat of arrest if you don't do it. You cannot economically viably recycle paper, what are the rest of them, glass.
I think metal. They were just really focusing on the ones at consumer level recycling. They're not talking about like iron or pavement,
batteries, car batteries, lead.
Yeah, they're not talking about those things. I think they're talking about the main recyclables that we, you know.
Which, if you ever saw the How It's Made episode on recycling lead acid car batteries, that looks like the most toxic environment you could work in America. It really does. You know, like when Bart Simpson is bad and his principal threatens that his permanent record will bar him from all but the hottest and noisiest and most toxic jobs. Really, like, that's recycling car batteries, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so this Adam Ruins Everything is kind of the update on Penn and Teller BS. You love Penn and Teller, don't you? You want to marry him, right?
I don't know about that much. Besides, they're both married.
Yeah, but they're kinky. I have a friend that used to work at a sex shop. And I guess that's breaking in anonymity. I'm going to leave it at that. All right, never mind.
So, basically Penn and Teller's BS is why I became a libertarian. I was a Green Party guy, and I caught that show on Showtime when I may or may not have been pirating satellite. It was a fascinating show, and I was like, wow, this is great. And then like the next episode would really attack everything that I believe, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Guys, stop it.
Yeah. And this show is kind of like taking off of that, but they're kind of doing it in a much more humorous manner. I mean, Penn and Teller are funny, but I think this is actually maybe a step up. Yeah, this is much better.
And you know what, the silent teller gets really tiring after the first 100 times you see it.
Yeah, it's great for when you go see them live, though. It's really important. Yeah. But on the show, it's like, I can understand that, especially since Penn's a carnival barker. So
yeah.
So, and I guess we're going to talk about just the first episode, and then every time I'm on, I'll update it with the next episode.
You'll review it there. Keep
back. Right. So the first one, they're talking about giving, and it starts off with, you know, like a
charity.
Charity, but it's called Adam Ruins Giving.
And he really ruined giving. He ruins, like, buy one, give one charity business plans.
Well, the first one, he was actually talking about engagement rings, because they showed a couple, basically getting engaged, and he was talking about how you know, the diamond engagement ring is a rather new invention. It only came around the beginning of the century, and the reason why is because the De Beers Corporation, or the De Beers Cartel, which runs out of South Africa, which is like a highly nationalized, like quasi-private or quasi-public corporation.
It's like a narco state, but just replaced diamonds with narcotics.
That's South Africa. And like, basically, if you live in South Africa and you stumble across a diamond in your mine, the state of South Africa would come in and nationalize your mine, and they would take.
Yeah, there's no longer conflict diamonds, because there's no conflict. They'll just take it.
And that's really interesting, because the blood diamond thing actually is a De Beers scheme in order to sell more De Beers and keep private marketeers out. Yeah. Which is
brilliant. I gotta say, I did not give my wife a wedding ring or an engagement. I gave her kind of a combination engagement ring, wedding ring. It's a tiny little diamond in a white gold setting that belonged to my mother. I did not buy it. And some would say, oh, you cheap SOB or whatever. You know, like a lot of women would be like, well, I ain't going to marry no man unless he put a big ring. You know, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't spend a cent on the wedding ring with my wife. I did not want a ring because I don't wear jewelry. So she bought me a microphone for our first podcast, a good microphone. That was our wedding ring. And we just celebrated 10 years, 10 really happy years married last weekend. So it ain't about the diamond, kids.
Yeah. If you want it, put a microphone in front of it.
If you love it, put a microphone in front of it. I know. Yeah. And she's asleep right now, and I'm in here with a microphone in front of it.
Nice.
We're going to go to the market. We need some microphones on our market. Well, I guess we have one, because we have the Amazon link. You can buy microphones there. We'll be back. Strip to the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Freedom Beans.
If you love it, put a microphone in front of it. So, yeah, there was this really interesting show called Adam Ruins Everything, and every time, like, I watched it, I wanted to kind of dive into the information a little bit more, and there was an article from the Mises Institute back in, like, 2011 that kind of goes over, like, a lot of stuff, and I'm not going to go ahead and read it, because that'd be boring, but there's a lot of good information in this thing. So, apparently, there's the company, or the firms that own most of the diamond holdings in the world, and basically they have a large monopoly, is the Beers Corporation. And Murray Rothbard has written about this industry, and because you know there needs to be some answers about, like, how could a firm, you know, be monopolized? You know, it's clearly the free market, but he goes into a lot of explanation about why it's not. You know, like we already mentioned, like the South African government will nationalize mines if there's even one diamond found in it. The USSR was basically kind of helping, propping them up as well. And Yeah, but the whole idea of the engagement ring to begin with came from an ad campaign from the De Beers Corporation, which basically encouraged people to, instead of the way they used to do it, where they would just say, "Hey, I love you, let's get married," they went just straight into like, "Oh, you know, you can only ask your girlfriend to marry you if you got a diamond ring," and of course, who owns all the diamonds? So yeah, it's kind of interesting, and you know, it's so ingrained into our culture now that, I mean, even one of the ad slogans, which was, you know, spend two months' salary. Yeah. On a diamond ring for your engagement, which basically was an ad campaign. And in the show, they explained that that's basically like 50 years from now, where we just eat nothing but pizzas on a bagel, because an ad slogan said we should eat pizza on a bagel all the time, you know.
So, yeah, that's exactly right. I thought that was really interesting. I've known many people that have gotten married. Everybody does, and I had kind of been aware of the false scarcity of diamonds, and I always wondered if I would get, you know, I would meet some girl and I would have to buy a ring, and I always thought, like, I've been thinking about this, you know, since watching that episode too. It's like, will I really give into that? And I think I totally would, right? No. I'm not that man. Dumb.
No, you're giving to buying a diamond.
Well, I mean. Like, you have to do it.
No, you don't.
They got you a trap.
She's not working.
Unless you do, I guess I could do. If I can find a woman that's going to be willing to take a microphone, then I'm definitely
going to. No, I think you should find a woman that's willing to take a dowry in the form of a yak.
Yeah.
That's the there we go. Marry, man. That's perfect.
That's true
that's
love.
That's what they do.
That's
going to
be my requirement
in Nepal.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, get a mail order from Nepal.
There you go. They would totally accept a yak.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
In the show, they explained that, you know, the better option if you must get a ring would probably be something like a sapphire, because it's much more ethical and it's a lot cheaper as well, and the resale value is pretty much the same. And what's interesting about the show is they also explained how if you buy a $6,000 engagement ring, the chances of you getting at least like a fifth of what you got back from it is like really rare.
Gold band would be a better, you know, like, yeah. Like a, you know, 18-karat gold band would be much better of an investment, because yeah. You get it back. Yeah, and you know, the other thing that shocked me to learn about De Beers and diamonds from that whole Adam, just ruining everything, is that diamonds are not rare. Like, gold is rare, but diamonds, basically De Beers has this, according to Adam Ruins Everything, have a monopoly on it, like you said, to where the non-rarity of them is hidden, you know, to where if you find a diamond in your, if you find a diamond mine in your backyard, De Beers is going to take it. I don't know what they do if you found one here. I don't think there are diamond mines in the U.S., are there? They're all in places where they have political influence.
Yeah, I think a lot of those are really coming out of, like, Sub-Saharan Africa.
Diamonds here, but I think they're not of jewel quality. I think they're, like, of carborundum industrial grinding quality.
Yeah. Mm. You know, but yeah, I guess they have some utility to them outside of, you know, trying to keep something that you love.
Yeah, you can grind them up and make really cool sandpaper out of them. Yeah. They can grind anything, including diamonds.
Yeah. Or you need diamonds to cut diamonds too. So
yeah,
otherwise they just look like ugly hunks of glass, broken glass. So yeah.
Yep.
So yeah. Yeah, so. Just, if you like it, put a sapphire on it, or a microphone.
If you really like it, put a microphone
on it.
Put a yak on it. Oh, maybe that's the name of it. We'll discuss it in a break. If you love it, put a yak on it. Put a yak under it.
Yeah.
Better. You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Freedom Fiends. Talking about apples now. Interesting story about apples. And you know what? They talked about this in the show that we're talking about, Adam Ruins Everything. If you haven't seen it, watch it after the show. Wait till we talk about it, then watch it. But they kind of deviated just a little bit for maybe about, what, 15 seconds or so? Is that about right?
Yeah.
Yeah, about apples. A kid tosses him an apple while he's in the classroom, and he says, like, oh, no, apple, you know, eat an apple a day, that was a phrase that was coined by an apple producer in order to sell more apples. Because apparently, according to the show, and I've actually kind of knew about a lot of this stuff anyway, because, you know, I'm really into craft brews and craft liquors and, you know, that sort of thing. And apparently, apples before the temperance movement were mostly made not for eating, was mostly made for the production of hard cider.
Apple teenies.
Yeah, apple teenies. Because back in those days, everybody was drunk all the time. It's kind of like that drunk history show. It's almost true.
It's almost true because at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, you had people living in cities together, and there were really bad, people didn't even know germs necessarily caused illness, and people were like pooing in the street, and that was going into the water supply. And the only thing you really could drink was alcoholic, because it would kill the germs. Yeah. And you could, you know, people literally would go. That was one of the reasons there were so many injuries in factories in the early Industrial Revolution, is everyone was drunk in the factories. And then coffee came along, and it was like you boiled it to make it so it didn't have the germs in it, and it made you more efficient, not less efficient. So it was really, coffee was pretty important to the Industrial Revolution too.
Yeah, what's interesting is actually caffeine through tea and coffee is what they actually can say might be the spark of the Scottish Enlightenment, which is how we got capitalism in the first place, which is fascinating. Yeah, whole other thing, I guess. Anyways, we can deviate like they did on the show. But yeah, like the whole story about Johnny Appleseed, you know, being this Disney story where he's going around planting apples and everyone's walking around going, oh, now we have food. Thanks, Johnny Apple. That's not true. What happened was he was building these orchards of apples, apple trees, not for people eating it, but rather for people to know that there would be booze along the way while they're traveling westward. So people could get, you know, drunk no matter where they went. And that was Johnny Appleseed's contribution. Yeah.
Wow. I'm disappointed. Not really. I don't really care. I mean, I thought that was interesting because, you know, I love eating apples. I don't really like store-bought apples grown in California or Chile because they're not the same. But our backyard trees, those things are delicious. They taste like candy. They make delicious cider too. But I love eating them.
But back in the day, I think it was probably before the 19th or the 20th century, apples were pretty much kind of gross. They weren't sweet at all. They were very, they weren't really totally domesticated yet. So in order for you to make apple pie, and because honey and sugar were so expensive to make pies out of, they would over sweeten it with using things like pears and raisins in order to make apple pie palatable. So... yeah,
that's interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, so apples, the people eating apples, that's just relatively a new thing. And the apple a day, now they say this in the thing, but when I looked it up, it looked like it was kind of dating back to the 17th and 18th century. So I don't know if there were some apple producers that were trying to pull it off back then or something like that, but I don't know if maybe they just made a mistake or Wikipedia is wrong, which is entirely possible. But it seems as though is that the apples were mainly for the production of hard cider, and people were not eating them, and they were very gross. And in fact, a lot of the foods that we eat today didn't taste anything like they did 100 years ago or 100 years before that, because humans have been domesticating them and crossbreeding them and, you know, isolating strains, you know, forever. And if you go back and look at things like the original corn or the original apple, they were terrible, gross looking things.
Same with mostly tomatoes.
Seeds, yeah.
And people wouldn't eat tomatoes because they thought they were poisonous until like 100 years ago.
That's terrible. I love tomatoes, especially with a little salt. Ah.
Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. We say that at least once per hour when we aren't talking about politics. So go ahead with your love of tomatoes and salt.
Actually, you know, Barack Obama is actually a little bit of a boozer as well. Apparently, during one of his physicals, they released it. They said, you know, hey, you're doing okay, but you know, you need to cut back on the alcohol. And apparently, he had a brewer, one of the chefs in the White House, actually brews beer for the president, which is, you know, interesting. Which I love beer, but you know, come on, let's have some limit. If your doctor is telling you to cut it out, that's
yeah,
interesting. But I don't know. If I had that job, I'd probably be drunk too. So just like probably every other president before the 1900s. But yeah. So what does our resident farmer have to say about this? Well, you're not an agricultural or a plant farmer.
No, I'm not. I am trying to get into growing more fruit trees, but that takes a lot of planning because they're permanent, unlike yaks, which are temporary.
Yaks are fungible.
Yeah.
You know, and they knock your drunk uncles around too.
That's right. Yeah, apples don't do that. So maybe I'm trying to make this make sense. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. If you're eating an apple every day, you want to have multiple apples. And to keep my uncle from going to the hospital, I should plant more apple trees so that we can eat an apple a day instead of having yaks. That's a stretch, right? But so it does make sense there if I'm sacrificing yak pasture for apples. And that would bring me...
Can yaks eat apples?
Yes, they actually love apples.
Can they live on nothing but apples?
I'm sure they could, but they wouldn't be very healthy.
Yeah. They'd probably get diabetes.
Yeah.
Yeah, then they would have to see the doctor every day. Yeah. Thanks, apples.
Yeah.
Thanks, Johnny Appleseed. So yeah, I mean, pretty much everybody was drunk back in the day. And there's actually another show that's actually fairly good called Drunk History, where they have someone get blind drunk basically regale stories about history. And then they would have like these famous comedians and actors come in and act out the parts and like, you know, mouth sync or whatever, what the drunk person is saying. So everybody looks drunk and everything like that, which would actually probably be a better representation of history, especially in the United States. You know, everyone's especially drunk
everywhere.
All the time.
Yeah. Come on, man. Really, there's like three beverages that have driven all of history. It's like coffee, tea, and alcohol have been, tea way before coffee. Tea's been around for like 5,000 years. Coffee, they say coffee was discovered in Yemen because some farmers saw his yaks get really playful. He'd shoot on some berries on a bush. I love that story. I don't know if there's any basis for it, but can yaks eat coffee?
I have no idea.
So pigs can eat anything. And a lot of times, you know, they get industrial garbage from a restaurant or something to feed pigs. That would include like large amounts of coffee grounds in most restaurants. Would that get the pigs high?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Mammals respond to drugs the same way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anything that'll get you high will get your pig's eye.
wonder if I fed
not the young Nick's gets high. So I want to talk to Nick about, like, you know, I was thinking, like, if you lived in California or a city in California, somebody probably would turn you into what's it for kids? They take kids away. You know, the kidnappers
CPS,
in the state.
Child Protective Service.
Wouldn't they?
Child Kidnapping Service.
Yeah, because I dropped out of school, and probably they'd get me for speaking anti-state messages on the radio. I think they have quite a many reasons to
out here in the red states, that's called a job, son. Where you live, it's called child labor. Yeah.
And now he's talking about planting apples and hard apple cider. We're going to keep an eye on this kid. He's going to start bootlegging apples.
I don't know. Nick's 17. I don't think CPS takes. I don't know. Maybe they do.
They got 8 months to get me
to find you in your underground lair where you're freezing. Aren't you? Are you cold? Right. Your parents locked you in the dungeon.
They locked me in the dungeon. Yeah.
We're just going to get you a St. Bernard, you know, with the little whiskey barrel on the bottom. Yeah, just fill it with apple cider. When you freeze, you just have it twisted. Dribble some apple cider in your mouth. It'll warm you right up.
Actually, you could just bring one of your pigs in and sleep with it. I mean, if you literally were freezing to death, you would have already come to that option. So you're not really freezing.
Yeah, I would have, like, went and pulled a Han Solo and slaughtered
cut it open and climbed inside it.
The stories are all true. Including the part where Greedo shot first. Get out.
Nathan the Ninja Squirrel, who's listening and editing tonight, just got really excited because there was a Star Wars reference. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, Child Protective Service, like, my, you know, all libertarians hate them. We're supposed to. And because, you know, they do kidnap people. They do. It's one of those things of, like, it's hard to say if they'd be worse. I don't know. This is bad libertarianism, but it's like, you know, it's hard to say, are they worse or better without them? And, you know, could they be tweaked till they were good? And, you know, they do tend to break up families when there's no need to, but they also do go in when, like, you know, the kids are starving and haven't changed their diaper, had their diapers changed in a week and things like that. And, my wife works for an attorney who sometimes, like, is in those kind of custody cases where, like, you know, the parents are horrible and it's literally abusive and the state takes the kid away and then the grandparents, who are better parents, get custody of the kid, that kind of thing. And so my wife's had a lot of, like, you know, she's a libertarian and she's had a lot of, like, firsthand dealing with that. And I asked her tonight, so Child Protective Service, more harm than good or more good than harm? And she thought for a second and said, yes. So who knows, man? I don't know.
When we get back, we should talk about the buy one, give one model of Tom shoes. Yeah. No, it's terrible.
Do they have children now? Buy one child, get one free, give one. Yeah. Give one to grandma.
That's always been the CPS model.
All right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
So
Jim.
So Jim. Are we going to talk about why Tom's shoes is bad, or do you want to talk about the pool tabs?
Let's do the shoes first, and then we'll do the pool tabs when we're done.
Okay. So Tom's shoes. I know everybody's heard of Tom's shoes. We all heard of the lovely story.
You know, whenever there's things that everyone's heard of, I usually haven't heard of it.
So I better explain it. The Tom shoes
for Grandpa. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a charitable shoe company.
It's a hippie shoe company.
Yeah, that gives
you know, poor African kids' shoes because none of them have shoes over in Africa because they're so poor and everything is so terrible over there. And we need to do everything we can by giving them free stuff. And if you buy a pair of Tom's shoes for yourself, then Tom's shoes will give a free pair to some kid in Africa and he'll have shoes and he won't have to walk in the bare feet while he's carrying around a jug of water on his head and playing the bongos. And, you know, isn't it great that we're doing this? But the problem is that the buy one, was the buy one give one model is absolutely terrible as far as charity goes. Because and it's something that, you know, some libertarians have heard of, that why foreign aid is terrible. You're basically giving all these food aid to all these countries. The people get free food, which drives away competition in the marketplace for farmers, and everybody starves because they're wholly reliant on food aid, which doesn't come regularly enough. And a lot of the times, the dictators in those areas will come and take those food and kind of use it as a weapon.
Actually, if you want a pretty good representation of that, I know it's in a Hollywood movie, but pretty much one of the opening scenes of the movie Black Hawk Down is the United Nations delivering food packages to Somalia and some warlord coming in with machine guns and just taking it away before the people can get it. And that movie has some propaganda in it, but it also has, it's pretty factual, a lot of it.
Yeah. But, you know, the Tom Shoes thing kind of follows the same principle. You're driving out competition from the local cobblers and the shoemakers in the area, and they're losing money, and they have to basically, you know, compete with free products, which, you know, you can't really do. And it drives them out of business, and it drives the economy down, and it makes them even poorer in the process. And it's just an absolutely terrible way to do charity. And people still think that it's, you know, it's a wonderful thing. And a lot of it's just not true. A lot of those African cultures, they do have shoes. They do have cobblers. They do have shoe stores. And we just kind of only show the really bad parts of Africa because, you know, it's poverty porn. It's basically the best way to describe it, to make you feel bad in order to give. And in the process, you're buying a pair of shoes that cost $4 to make. So you're basically paying $60 for a pair of shoes that cost $4 to make, and then another $4 to give a free pair. So where does the other money go to?
Tom.
Yeah. Tom. Well, actually, Tom is not an actual person. Tom. Tom.
Hey, was Tom on MySpace? Was that Tom an actual person?
No. Actually, really? Tom is a wholly fake person. His name is Blake. Is it
the same person?
No, his name is Blake something, and he was one of the guys from America's Top Bachelors or whatever. And
Tom the shoe guy. I'm talking about Tom MySpace.
Oh yeah. Oh no, it's not the same guy. I'm pretty sure, because the guy from MySpace actually, his name is Tom.
Yeah,
this guy is not named Tom. I don't even know where they got the name. In fact, there's no apostrophe in the name, so I think it's probably some sort of anagram or whatever. And he's basically a reality TV star, and he went to Africa or somewhere in South America, or I can't remember exactly where, Argentina. But one of those areas. Argentina.
Speak up, Nick, like you're on radio, son.
Sorry.
And he saw that everybody didn't have shoes, and so what's the best way to deal with problem with shoes? Just give them free shoes and drive out the competition. Seems legit. Yeah. So everybody's poor now because of Tom's shoes, except for Tom, quote unquote Tom.
We're going to the market, but yeah, I mean, the thing that is to look out for, things that seem like the way to do things aren't always the way to do things, especially with charity. Most charities are incredibly inefficient. I know some guys in Africa that are doing good work. You want to send them money, and they're legit. I know people that have been there, and want to send money to Africa, talk to me.
Kony 2012 was terrible, too.
Yeah.
Worms.
Rotary Club does good work.
Taking a look. Yes. In Africa. Yes. They have cool hats. And cars. They have cool cars, too.
Yeah. My dad used to be a Freemason when he rised up until early.
Listen to the Dead Kennedys' Frankenchrist.
Yeah.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a Milo FC Little, but then you go back to Prairie Studios where we alter your locus release by warming your synapses and fujubing your radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sinful decision out of your head. Can you feel it, Michael Dean? Can you feel it, Nick Hazelton, the anarcho
nationalist? I suppose. I do feel it. I'm actually reading this Facebook page called Libertarians in Favor of Taxing Stephen Kinsella Only. He's a friend of ours, or of mine. Explain that. Meme master Jim.
I'm not the meme master. That's Steve Miller, but
no, you're the master the master of understanding these wacky memes the kids have today. Like, I have to ask you, like, well, what's supposed to be in the third panel of this dog chewing on the toy? Because I don't know. So you do know the memes.
That's touche. So, well, first of all, the show is covered by BIPCOT, no government license. This allows use and reuse by anyone except state governments. But you can learn more at BIPCOT.org. But anyways, about this meme thing, Stephen Kinsella, while I love the guy and he's been absolutely nice to me, has a reputation in the libertarian circles. He's an anti-IP attorney. It was great.
You know, I ran BIPCOT by him before making it public, and he had a lot of opinion. And I'm like, no, just tell me it's good. I don't know what I wanted. I was like, I wanted a copyright attorney's or a intellectual property attorney to say it's good, and I couldn't get it out of him because he wanted to actually like discuss the merits of it. So I went to Randy England, who's just a kind of general attorney that gets you out of, prison when you're drunk in public.
He's a criminal attorney.
But he's not a criminal attorney.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he said, yeah, man, it looks good. So on the site for it, it says that it's a lawyer gave it a thumbs up, and he doesn't want to be named, but I guess I just named him, but.
I always thought that was Kinsella.
No, it wasn't. Maybe people are supposed to think that, but no, it's Randy England.
Okay. So, but
Libertarians in favor of taxing Stephen Kinsella only.
Yeah. Kinsella is a great guy, and he's been nothing but nice to you. And I know he's been nothing but nice to you too.
I like him. He's been on the show a lot.
Yeah, he's great. Everything he's written, I've really found great. But he has a reputation in libertarian circles to be kind of a jerk. So, there's kind of like a running gag with it. But he has a good sense of humor about it, and he kind of like plays along with it, too.
He's actually on this page participating and telling people that they're losers because they make less than $50,000 a year, so they shouldn't have an opinion on him.
I think that's actually one of the memes, too, that kind of surround him. Okay. But the main meme that surrounds him is the lower my GD taxes. I don't know if you can say that. Can I say GD?
Gosh darn, yeah.
Lower my gosh darn taxes. That's kind of like the meme that surrounds him. And hence her Mojave would be the physical removal service. And so, like, those two are kind of like the big kind of like Austro-libertarian memes at the moment right now. And they're funny. I did not seen this group before. This is great.
Yeah.
Taxation is rape, except the taxation of Stephen Kinsella, which seems reasonable and just to any thinking person, I believe.
That's funny. Because it's so clearly not being a consistent libertarian. That's the joke. If I have to explain
That's the joke.
That's the joke. All right, so we want to talk about pull tabs. I've never heard this pull tab thing. Is Nick going to read it?
Yeah, I can read that. The Snopes article about...
Speak up, son, like you're on radio.
Man, I have to do that every time. I need the thing. I need to write it up on a wall.
Well, is your Fiend phone volume all the way up, the little slider next to your mic?
Yeah, it is.
All right. That sounds good.
Go ahead.
All right. So this is the article, Keeping Tabs, and it says the claim is pull tabs from aluminum cans have special redemption value for time on dialysis machines. Snopes says this is false. This claim is completely false. And it sounds kind of weird to me. Anyway, but so the origins, it says a legend is good-hearted, should be true. Or a legend this good-hearted should be true, but it's not. And a lot of really nice people end up sadly disappointed when they eventually discover that all of their hard work pretty much went for naught. Pull tabs have no special value that makes them redeemable for time on dialysis machines, or indeed which make them worth far in excess of their ordinary scrap metal recycle value.
Well, let me ask you this. Do soda cans even have a pull tab that comes off anymore? Yeah. Doesn't it just tuck under like, on most of them?
No. Yeah, you can like wiggle it off.
And yeah, but I remember like when I was
but
little,
you don't have
like my
to,
sister
like it stays on.
Yeah, my yeah. sister would used to collect those things, and one of the last jobs that I had, like there was a little thing attached to the refrigerator in the employee break room, like please give us your soda tabs, and I'm like, I don't think is that like really a thing? Like I always heard about it. And
I've
I don't
never
remember
heard
my sister
this.
Ever turning them in. So
this sounds like something from 1960. Like have you guys ever heard of this thing?
I have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, maybe it's after, yeah. maybe it's, you know, after I was drinking soda anywhere but in my own home, you know,
yeah.
not before.
Yeah, I think a lot of the places that I worked end up having, like, these little drives every once in a while, and then I'd never hear anything about it ever since. And I don't think I ever really gave my tabs. I was like, I don't know, this seems kind of weird that yeah. a little piece of metal on top is more valuable than the can. I mean, that paint yeah. just burns off. So I'm and they're going to melt it anyway. So anyways, go on with the tabs.
So is there more, Nick?
Yeah. Oh, you said I couldn't understand what you said. Go on. Okay.
Who's throwing to you?
Yeah, yeah sorry. Teaching hospital. Okay. So I'll move on. So the National Kidney Foundation says this of the dialysis rumor that has been dogging them for quite a while. A false rumor that has plagued the National Kidney Foundation and the aluminum industry for decades has recently resurfaced. Perhaps fueled by the internet, individuals and groups believe that they can donate the pull tabs on aluminum cans in exchange for time on kidney dialysis machines.
So this doesn't sound 1960 to me. You know what it sounds? It sounds pre-internet to me, like 80s, because this is the kind of stuff that you couldn't really check before the internet. You know, like if you wanted to check this before the internet, you'd have to like call, you know, the American Aluminum Recycling Foundation or something, or, you know, call Pepsi Cola and try to get through to someone that knew where there was no Snopes, man. Snopes is great.
And they'd probably be like, stop calling us about this. No, no. Oh, I know. Tell all your friends. We don't want them.
So Nathan said that in Star Wars, the Jedi are CPS because they can take anybody's kids that have psychic powers. There you go.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But you can get them back if you've given them enough pull tabs from sodas,
yep.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. From Romulan ale. Wait, wrong show. So yeah, you guys never heard of people doing this? This is like very common. Like I see this every once in a while.
I've
like it'll pop up every couple
tops.
Of years. Oh, the box
tops.
Oh, the box tops are real.
Yeah,
the
right.
And the box like, tops.
Yeah.
Send in far box that. Tops, and you can get yourself a decoder ring.
I remember that. That's from the 60s.
Yeah, this is a lot later. So yeah. Should we go on with this?
Yeah. Still reading this? Okay. There's a pretty sad story here about it's kind of disappointing, but they're talking about this girl in like the third grade had a friend who had leukemia, and they tried to raise money so that she could have chemotherapy. Somebody told her about some Coca-Cola.
Someone
thing.
Lied.
Yeah, about how they would pay for one chemotherapy session for every 1,000 aluminum pop cans, whatever the tabs, you know, that they got back. And so they raised it, and then they're like, no, actually we do kind of help out those charities, but we don't take the pop tops. for medical treatments.
So I actually have some news you can use in all of this from my recent dealings with Big Pharma, and having gone through every asthma drug or every type of asthma drug that's commonly prescribed and none of them really helping much, then finding out that part of it is GERD, which is just really like acid reflux, which is treatable by the Prilosec and Tums, which are cheap and over the counter. But that doesn't do all of it. So like my asthma does not respond to like inhaled steroids, like the, you know, the stuff they give you for rescue inhaler or the rescue stuff. So it's this like really rare form that's actually treatable by this drug that called Xolair, which is X-O-L-A-I-R, if you want to look it up, which is made from Chinese hamster ovaries. I just love that. I don't know. It seems like like if I were going to make up a drug, that would be the drug, because I have a hamster in my brain and I say it often. So, you know, I know a lot of people hate Big Pharma and are like, oh, you're a shill for Big Pharma. I'm not a shill for Big Pharma. But when I see people like I know people who like have serious illnesses and they're using like, they're like, I hate Big Pharma, I'm using homeopathy instead. Like homeopathy is BS. It's water. You might as well be drinking water. And at worst, you know, you might as well be drinking water that has tiny amounts of strychnine in it, because that's actually one of the homeopathic treatments is Nux Vomica diluted to a billionth. So, you know, I mean, if you really want alternative medicine, you'd be better going to like Chinese herbalist and getting some needles stuck in you, because that actually like might help, you know, help your immune system or something.
A little.
Well, better than homeopathy. No, because there's Chinese herbs that are actual drugs. Yeah. You know, Chinese, like, they have actual stuff in some of them. So, but if you are, if you have an illness that is treatable only by, you know, by Big Pharma meds, or that's the one that seems like the solution, most of these meds, like, this med costs like $700 a shot, and the treatment is like 2 shots a month. There's no way I could afford it. But most of these big pharma companies with the really expensive drugs have like a financial aid program. Like I'm literally paying $5 a dose for this drug for the next 9 months. And I don't qualify for like, you know, aid on my insurance. We're paying all of that. You know, I'm not broke. So like, even if you make some money, you can sometimes get help with these $1,000 a dose drugs. That's all. Just look on the website, search financial aid for, and then the name of the drug. And then,
you should ask them if they take soda tabs.
There you go.
And then we could do a fiend soda tab raising.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all right. Like the whole thing about the big pharma thing, it's like, yeah, they do terrible things. Yeah, they're in bed with the government, but that doesn't mean that everything that they do is absolutely horrible and everything that they make is going to kill you. Like, yeah. You know, there are some things that they make that only they can make because they have a monopoly, you know, on the drug for whatever amount of time. That actually do some good things.
Yep.
They also do a lot of bad things.
And the monopoly will never run out for them on this hamster drug, because biologicals have different patent laws than regular drugs.
Ew.
There'll probably never be a generic to this drug, but it works miracles, man. For people like me. And people with really bad hives. It'll cure that overnight, too.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Meow. collecting soda tabs for time on the dialysis machine.
Jesus here with Nick Hazelton, the anarcho yakitalist, and we're talking about this wonderful show called Adam Ruins Everything. You used to go to high school before you rose out, right?
Yeah, I did.
Didn't they ever used to do canned food drives?
Every year. They didn't really do the high school, but the middle and elementary school did this thing for the 100th day of school. They would every class would try to collect 100 cans, and then they would send it off to the food drive.
And it was a good thing, right? All the food you raised?
Of course it was.
It helped all the poor. Unfortunately, that's not true. There's a lot of things wrong with the canned food drives, but most importantly, half of the stuff that they take, half of the stuff that you give to the canned food drives, they're just going to throw away. It's just in the trash because people use it as an opportunity to get rid of all the old cans that they have sitting in their closet, which are often expired. And on top of that, they're really only looking for stuff that's a little bit more, that has some nutritional value. So, that high sodium baked beans that, that's a month away from going bad, they're going to toss that out. It also costs money for them to take that food, bring it to the thing, and then have people sort all the cans and throw half of it away. That costs money too. And people go and spend good money on getting all these canned foods that are really high in sodium and cause high blood pressure and stuff like that. And, and it's absolutely terrible. But people still do this every year, and no one really questions it. Even when the food banks kind of say, hey, this isn't really the best way to donate. But yeah, did you hear anything about this at all being a good thing? We raised so much money or raised so many cans, and everybody's eating now. Did you hear anything like that?
I actually don't remember. I don't think they really bragged about it. They're just like, hey, we did that. Cool. Get back to work. Yeah. Do your schoolwork. Get back to
work. Yeah, some poor people ate, I guess. Or whatever.
Hey. Yeah. No, but that's interesting because if you really think about it, it would make more sense to just give them money. Let them figure out what to do with it. Because there's a lot of man and woman hours that go into sorting that food and getting it out to the people that need it.
Yeah, but why would giving money be better? I mean, money's evil, right? Money is terrible. That's what I was told all the time in school. Money's terrible. You just give canned food. Why?
Well money doesn't perish. Money does not perish.
The government's money may, but I get your point.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and they also work with local farmers and stuff like that, and they get wholesale prices on all this great perishable food that, can go to needy families and actually are better for them, fresh fruits and vegetables and breads and stuff like that, unlike canned food, which is almost always high in sodium. Always high in sodium. If you ever read some of those nutrition labels on all your canned foods, they're really, really high in sodium. Really, really high in sodium.
Yeah, I actually know a guy, a farmer, who does that sort of thing. And I don't think he works with a food drive, but I think he does it himself. I can't really speak on that too much, but Tyler Boggs, he's actually a business partner of mine. He owns half of the Yak Herd at Heart to Heart Farms. They do some amazing stuff like that. And they get their fresh produce and they get it out to people for free a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And giving them money definitely helps, but they get the food somehow. But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it seems like giving money is probably the best option in almost every case than doing all these, charities and stuff like that. I mean, if you give money to a local economy in in Africa, instead of giving them actual shoes, you're actually helping out the economy as well, making everybody a little bit wealthier, and people are getting their shoes, not just getting shoes and then putting the cobbler out of business, which is absolutely terrible, right?
Yeah.
But you would expect giving money would be the worst thing ever because it's money and money is evil and the root of, they even wrote a song about it in 7/8 time that you can't dance to, right?
I think I'm too young to know that song.
Oh, come on, it's Pink Floyd, man.
I know that song.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, canned food drives are absolutely terrible. And and after watching this, it really kind of hit at home. And I kind of knew from the before I watched this because I kind of briefly looked at it when I saw that a group of, you know, robo Marxists had like a little media festival and they did a canned food drive, because it was the first time they ever did any kind of charity, because they was just to brag about how charity was terrible. You know, but they were going to save everybody, don't worry. And and then, you know, it turns out that, you know, everything they did was just for naught, or at least half of it was for naught. And the other half was giving people high blood pressure. Yay, robot Marxism.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Freedom Fiends. Still talking about Adam ruins everything. I'm ruining everything too. What have we ruined so far?
We have ruined diamonds, Tom's shoes, and soda can tabs, and then we also just ruined food drives.
What else are we missing? There's something else from this episode that they ruined.
Ooh.
Hmm.
What was...
Oh, so the idea that actually giving things is better than just giving money.
I was really scrambling there. I thought you were like meaning something specific.
Oh no, no.
I was going to say GMOs next, but
no. We're not going to go there. We'll go there in maybe another episode, because that's a whole big topic. And yeah, so they had a thing at the very end where they had everybody in the auditorium that he ruined the day of, and he was saying, like, we're going to show you the best way to give, because we talked about all the other ways you were giving were terrible, and you shouldn't do any of these things. Canned foods, giving diamonds, diamond engagement rings, all this other stuff, and the best thing you can do was give money. And of course, everybody got so mad, like, oh, how could you say just give money, you capitalist evil person, you? And but he had some good points. He actually brought on an expert, wheeled out an expert, actually. Literally wheeled out an expert. And, you know, like, what were some of the things that they were saying? Like, you know, oh, but we can't just give poor people money. Why can't we just give poor people money?
Because they'd spend it on selfish things like iPods and beer.
Yeah. And food that's bad for you.
Right.
And the funny thing is that they were all getting drunk and listening to their iPods and eating fast food the entire time they were making these arguments. But, you know, that's what everybody does. But you know, if you give people money, well, what do you say? Like, if you give people a fish, or if you give someone a fish to eat for a day, teach them the fish they'll eat for a lifetime, give them some money, and maybe they can take a class on how to cook. Who are you to tell them what to eat anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, some people don't like fish.
Yeah, but, you know, why not give them money? Like, really, what's the big deal with giving money?
Why do people see
money as so evil?
And then usually those same people will turn around and say, but we need to give them welfare checks, right, the poor people. Right, and that's money.
But they can only spend it on certain things. Yeah.
Right.
I had some friends that were on EBT, and you could only spend it on cold items. Actually, I think in California, you can actually get, like, fast food with it now. But here in Nevada, it's like it was only cold food. You can only get cold stuff. Even the stuff in the deli, you have to get the stuff that's already been cooked and then put it in the refrigerator, and then they'll sell it to you on the EBT. And so you have to go home and heat it again. And that seems like a waste of energy, it seems to me. You know, heat something, then spend the energy to cool it, and then spend energy to heat it again. But, you know, government's efficient.
That's right. Every step of the way, it saves time, money, and energy.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Well, why do people hate money so much? Didn't you come from the left, or...?
No, actually, I came from pretty right-wing.
Okay.
I dabbled in the left for, like, a month when I was 14.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Well, why do people hate money?
So I think it really stems from one of the places it stems from is religion, from Jesus's claim that money is the root of all evil, which what I think he, if we want to defend Christianity, it's, I think he really meant that selfishness and being greedy was the root of all evil, and not necessarily mm-hmm. that money itself was, but being greedy with money is what the root of all evil is.
Yep. But that's why you should give money instead of spending your money on giving stuff to give
right.
money.
Yeah. I think we could, I could totally get into conspiracy on how, you know, why they want you to give up your money, right? And how that's been ingrained by the church and by the government throughout the last 1,000 years.
Why? Get into that.
All right, so yeah, so this this is totally conspiratorial. I'll have my tinfoil hat on. If the church is giving you your moral teachings and they want money from you, then they're going to teach that you should give up your money, right? That's mm-hmm. where you get your ethical philosophy from is going to be the church. Right, so they want to perpetuate themselves, and of course they're going to say, yeah, you should totally give us money because you don't want that money. We can use that to do something else. We can use that to do God's work, right? And then the government does it the same way, where they say, yeah, you don't need that money. We'll take it and do good work with it ourselves. Yeah. Right, so they want you to give up their money, and telling you that it's evil is a good way to do that.
Yeah. I guess charity could also do the same thing as well, but it doesn't seem like they have a...
Could.
Yeah. But it seems like the state kind of want to monopolize charity, you know, by saying like, oh, well, you know, why give to these organizations on your own will when we're going to just shove a gun in your face or the threat of a gun in your face when we could just take your money and then spend 80% on overhead and give, you know, mm-hmm. the 20% to the poor mm-hmm. and then tax them on that. I'm going to charge you retail tax on top of that. You know, thank you, government. And the only people that really benefit from this are the, you know, the white collar bureaucrat or the blue collar bureaucrats that work in the office, you know, getting paid like a lot of money just to sit around and do nothing and just push paperwork all day. It's wholly needless. And, you know, charities have, you know, a reputation of having a bit of a high overhead, but it's nothing near the government's 70-80%, which some of the things I've been seeing in Social Security and EBT and that sort of thing. Yeah, but what's wrong with just giving money? It seems that money would be the better thing to give. Why pay money to get a cow and then pay for that cow to ship over to Africa to give it to a local farmer when they're just going to turn around and sell it again mm-hmm. for money when you could just send him the money?
Without the shipping costs.
Yeah. Well, I guess Western Union and stuff like that. Okay, yeah. They had a lot of wire transfer fees, but you just use Bitcoin.
Okay, sure. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Why not Bitcoin?
Yeah, I feel like I saw somebody on, I think it was the movie, didn't they say that you could pay with Bitcoin on something? Or was that, no, it was something else. Never mind, I'm losing track of my TV shows. No, but yeah, that's totally a great opportunity. And I believe there are Bitcoin charities out there. Like the Bitcoin's
not bombs. Yeah. I think it's Davi's charity, isn't it? Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, he's one of the fiends. But, Yeah, why not give money? Like, well, why?
I don't know.
It's funny. It's at the very end of the show, what do they do when they were convincing them that money was the best thing to do? Is they kick him out of the auditorium, him and his expert.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why would you do that? You know, they're only trying to help.
Bad about themselves because they thought that because Adam ruined it. They ruined. Yeah. He ruined their charitable giving spirit, and he deserves to be punished for that.
Yeah, but he was showing them the best way to give.
Right.
But anyways. So anyways, I had shown this episode to my lady friend, and the first thing that she told me was, oh my goodness, they made a show about you. Because I've been known to do this kind of thing, like, you know, where I see them, you know, see someone at work, you know, doing something, and I'd be like, actually, no, that's, you know, total garbage, right? And explain all the facts, and they're like, oh, just shut up, Jim. Just go away, Jim. And I was never this bad, but I think this is going to make me worse because I absolutely love the show. And all the other episodes I've been following have been great.
Yeah, you're totally right. Because I get that. I love how they said she said to Adam, "Has anybody told you you're a little abrasive?" I'm like, I get all that all the time. It's like, I think that's just every libertarian.
Yeah,
no, it's just, if you say anything about against the status quo, right? People don't appreciate it.
Yeah, and the show is kind of quasi-libertarian. There's some things in there that are kind of like, you know, maybe there was a little bit more information they should have talked about that would have made it, give it more of a libertarian twinge. But for the most part, a lot of it already is, especially this episode. And especially when they get into some of the other episodes, or especially one about the TSA and security theater, which I guess we could do another show on that. That we could, you know, we could spend like three shows on that one because there was so much stuff. But this one was great, too. You know, so we learn how to give, we learn what not to do, and I think the one thing that really blew me away the most was the De Beers thing, because I ended up having to go to the Mises Institute and reading a little bit more, and then I got wrapped up in it, and that was fascinating.
Okay, that's interesting. The thing that got me was the Tom's shoes, because I already knew. I am a fan of College Humor, and I don't really like it anymore. I only really like Jake and Amir. That web series on there, it's you know, you can judge me.
I judge you all the time. I judge everybody. That's my job.
I will let you have a harsh judgment on me. I'll take it. Jake and Amir's worth it. But anyway, no, I knew. I've seen Adam Ruins Everything. Their little short clips. I think the TV show is much better than the 5-minute clips, because it's definitely more interesting because you have just more stuff. And but I already knew about the diamond scam. But I thought it was really interesting, especially because they did get into economics there with how giving free shoes to people puts the cobbler out of business, and that's terrible. That damages the economy. So that was interesting. I thought that was my favorite part.
Yeah, and I didn't know about too much about Tom's shoes. I've heard about Tom's shoes, and I heard like rumors that it was, you know, bad, and I just really kind of didn't pay attention to it because I had never seen anyone buy them. And then I've heard a couple of my friends say, like, "Oh, I got some Tom's shoes," and I was just like, "Oh, whatever, I don't care," you know, because it wasn't big enough of a thing for me to really care about. But this kind of like really kind of like, whoa, something's going on here. I need to check this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had seen the episode with the diamond ones before, but this one was a lot more thorough. They kind of went way deeper into the subject. That's what I like about this show. I mean, it's basically the new Penn and Teller's BS, but better. As much as I like Penn and Teller, I think they got one up on this one for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. I wonder too is. It's kind of cool that it's a TV show that came out of a YouTube web series. Has that happened before?
I don't know. It's possible. I mean, this radio show was originally a podcast. Why
That's
not?
Right.
Why not? Yeah. Why not a YouTube channel? Yeah. Oh no! There was actually a show called Fred, which was absolutely terrible on YouTube, and they made a couple movies out of it that were even worse. It's just a kid screaming with the high pitch effect on his voice. It's terrible.
Oh, yes! I remember that. I used to love that as a kid. I feel
you're
so
my enemy.
I know. I'm sorry.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Suspicious of all the things that the average people believes. H.L. Mencken. Freedom Fiends, here for some redemption. I hate Amtrak. I used to ride it all the time. I thought it was kind of fun. And then it started getting super expensive and it's just terrible. Food is terrible on it anyway. But there is some redemption recently with Amtrak, right?
Yeah.
Am I reading this right? They actually did something good.
They did. They did something really nice. And I would say it's a public service.
Yeah.
Just for everybody. They kicked off New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. They kicked him out of the Chris Christie. So, they they kicked him out off of the train. I don't know if they kicked him out of the train, but they kicked him out of the quiet car. So this is the article on Yahoo Politics. It says, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie blasted President Obama and the Black Lives Matter movement on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday, but that's not why his name is trending on Twitter. Christie was asked to leave Amtrak's so-called quiet car after reportedly yelling at his security detail and making phone calls during his trip home. This is a quote here from Christie campaign spokeswoman. On a very full train this morning, the governor accidentally took a seat in Amtrak's notorious quiet car.
Notorious? Right?
After breaking the cardinal rule...
Dun-dun-dun, you're entering the quiet car!
After breaking the cardinal rule of the quiet car, the governor promptly left once he realized the serious nature of his mistake and enjoyed the rest of his time on the train from the cafe car. Sincere apologies to all of the patrons of the quiet car that were offended. That's from Samantha Smith, his campaign spokeswoman.
They should have just kicked him off the train. They probably would have saved a lot of gas, you know, not having a whole heavy load around, right? No, instead he went to the cafe car and got bigger. But hey, you know, it's better than nothing, right? It's,
yeah.
They could have kept him on the, you know, and he could have been yelling at his mom. I mean, security detail, right?
Well, I like this guy. I like what he, this guy who complained about him, one of the people that complained about him to Gawker. This is the guy named Alexander Mann, a fellow passenger on the 9:55 a.m. express train from Washington, D.C. to New York City, told Gawker he witnessed the Republican presidential candidate causing a ruckus. He got on last minute yelling at his two Secret Service agents, I think because of a seat mix-up, sat down and immediately started making phone calls on the quiet car, Mann said, according to the website. After about 10 minutes, the conductor asked him to stop or go to another car. He got up and walked out again, yelling at his Secret Service. This is my favorite part. The guy just adds this in here. He was drinking a McDonald's strawberry smoothie.
Of course he was. I'm surprised he wasn't drinking a McFlurry or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's a fruit. It's a little bit healthy. He's trying to watch his weight.
A Big Mac McFlurry. he was just in the quiet car taking the Big Mac challenge. There we go.
But what is interesting is somebody actually stepped up to defend him and said that he wasn't actually that bad. So we have two conflicting eyewitness accounts. But some other person said that he's actually like, oh no, somebody called him out and said the conductor came by and it's like checking tickets and said, hey, you can't be being so loud here on this quiet car. And then Chris Christie was like, I'm sorry. And then he just left, and that there weren't any Secret Service agents. So I don't know which is true, but he still got kicked out.
Yeah, and it seems kind of dubious that he would be drinking something as light as a strawberry smoothie.
Yeah.
Maybe a strawberry right. shake. Yeah.
Yeah, that's more like it.
But he was. Did he appear annoyed? Sure, but he was screaming, causing a scene. Hardly. But oh well. At least they kicked him off the quiet cart, and people had room to stretch their legs after he left, and and everything was better on the Amtrak train, even though they were overpaying. Government services suck, Amtrak included. But at least they keep Chris Christie off.
Worms.
That was a great redemption. Worms.
Buy Tom's shoes on the market. No. Kidding, don't. That's bad.
Yeah, and then I guess in the next episode we get to talk about what? Security theater.
Yes.
Yay, TSA. They protect us from terrorists, right?
TSA.
I hope they do.
They don't.